Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, this is Money Talking. I'm Charlie Herman. Pope Francis says he wants to make a Catholic Church that is poor for the poor. And next week, he's coming to New York City, one of the biggest centers of wealth and power in the world. But one walk through Vatican City, and you can see that it has its fair share of the world's wealth and power. So how will the Pope balance his desire and mission to serve the poor with also raising the funds that the church needs? Well, joining me to discuss this is Gerald Posner. He has spent years investigating how the Vatican handles its money for his book, God's Bankers, A History of Money and Power at the Vatican. And let me just start off by asking, how does the Catholic Church Bank work?
Well, like no other bank in the world, Charlie. I mean, it's a bank that doesn't make loans. It has only one shareholder, the Pope. It doesn't have to turn a profit. You can't open up an account there if you're just a Catholic anywhere in the world. You can only do it if you're a religious order or a charitable order or a citizen of Vatican City. So it's until just the last few years, there was no oversight. There was nobody checking it, and no international regulations. It didn't even have a law against money laundering or the financing of terror until 2011. So Pope Francis, who has talked out against savage capitalism, as he calls it, inherited a bank that since its inception in World War II had practiced often savage capitalism and had been very profitable in doing that.
Well, so you mentioned that he's sort of waging this, at least a discussion about the effects of capitalism on society. He's also been trying to reform the church in a lot of other places as well. What is he doing as a financial reformer, specifically with his own bank?
I think he has really made some progress in terms of the reforms at the Vatican Bank. When he first took office in 2013, he said the same thing that his predecessors had said pretty much, which is, I'm going to reform the bank. It had been a bank embroiled in scandal and with money laundering for a number of years, much of it playing out in headlines and dead businessmen who had done business with it. But I was skeptical because I'd heard it before and didn't know if he meant it, but he did mean it. And in fact, what he's done is he's brought in a number of outsiders. Instead of just letting the priest run it, he's brought in lay professionals. So it's interesting that the Pope, who probably has criticized capitalism more than anyone else and the excess of capitalism, has brought in to manage the Vatican finances sort of companies like Deloitte, EY, the old Ernst & Young, McKinsey. And there is a battle going on for the soul of what happens with this bank. There was some talk about whether he would just dissolve it. He could have. They don't need a bank, Charlie. They could just use correspondent banks. That's what they did before they formed it in World War II, but he kept it. Then some of his more aggressive advisors wanted him to do a management fund, the essence of that, or an investment fund in Luxembourg, where Catholics could invest and make money and the church could earn these management fees. That he said no to. So he's trying to put a check on it, but they're feeling themselves out as to where they're going to go. They are closing a lot of accounts that were dirty accounts from before, and I think this bank has the possibility of being a boring mid-level bank going forward because of Francis's energetic reforms.
Why do they need a bank at all?
Well, that's the great question. And if you ask senior Vatican officials, cardinals, they'll hem and haw and they'll give you a reason. The real reason, they don't need a bank. They want it because they're also a country, we have to remember. It's not just a world's second largest religion at 1.2 billion people, but it's the only one of the religions that has that permanent observer status of the United Nations, that is considered a nation unto its own, has diplomatic immunity when they travel, as well as having the church ability to pay no taxes. They like the idea of having the equivalent of a cross between a Federal Reserve and something like Goldman Sachs. It's neither, but it's some amalgam, and it gives them a feeling that they have some independent power as a sovereign.
So New York is known for being a center of wealth and power, and the Pope is coming here. What is the relationship between the Archdiocese of New York and the Vatican?
The relationship between the two has always been, and I say always, in modern times, since the mid-1800s and on, one of money, meaning that New York has been, with Chicago a close second, sometimes vying for the top spot, the biggest source of contributions to the Pope and the Vatican. American contributions have always outled every other country. Long ago, they surpassed France as the top contributor. The Pope relies in part on those contributions coming in. A popular Pope like Francis, it's just like politics. If you're a populist and your ratings are high, people tend to put more money in the basket is passed around on Sunday. They send more checks in. They want to give more in charity. Benedict, the previous Pope, the German Pope, was a dour personality. The funding had gone down. And under Francis, it's gone up. In addition, the people who become cardinals, this is an overstatement, but they become cardinals because they're good at administrating, they have the right politics, the good connections, they're moving up. But in part, you become a cardinal of a big diocese like New York, Philadelphia, Boston, or Chicago because you're a good fundraiser. Those people can raise money, just like being the head of the DNC or the RNC in politics in America. They raise the money and they send it to the Pope, and they like that in Rome.
But the Archdiocese of New York has been having some challenges recently. They've had to close a bunch of churches that they said were too expensive to keep open. So is there a concern that maybe the comments from the Pope might actually turn people away from giving money to this church, or that this church is not doing enough to actually support the Archdiocese?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And I think that on the one hand, there may be some people inside the diocese who fret about the fact that the Pope's strong talk against capitalism could turn some people off on sending in donations. But one of the reasons the church, how is it possible that the New York Archdiocese, with all of its money, with St. Patrick's worth, you know, $1 billion in terms of property and not paying any taxes, how is it possible that that diocese is closing church schools because they don't have the money? And the reason goes back in part, in a very short answer, to the sex abuse crisis that broke out in the 90s and 2000s, the Vatican made sure that every diocese was independently set up as a corporation and immune from every other diocese, so that if there was a lawsuit against one that happened to be quite poor and it bankrupted that diocese, as 11 have gone bankrupt since the lawsuit started, it wouldn't affect the assets of the diocese right next door, which might be quite wealthy. And the way they cut it is like congressional districts at times, odd little boundaries. So the New York diocese is having money problems in terms of its own structure, but it's still raising more money than any other diocese for the Pope. And it doesn't want to take that money and segregate it into the funds for the New York diocese because Rome wouldn't like that. So it's a very odd hybrid of how the money works in the Catholic Church.
So Pope Francis is coming to perhaps the financial center of the world. What is the message that, from a financial point of view, he's going to be bringing to this city?
Pope Francis is coming to New York, the financial capital of the country, because it affords him the perfect opportunity to bring out his economic message that capitalism at times can be savage and that he is a critic of it, a very harsh critic. What better place to do it than in the seat of Wall Street?
Well, Gerald, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Charlie.
Gerald Posner is the author of the book God's Bankers, A History of Money and Power at the Vatican. And I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.